Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
One of our favorite,
oh my God. One of the greats.
Favorite baseball guys. I mean, he's close to John Heyman. That's how good he is. Yeah. And that, of course, is the great Jeff Passan, who currently is with Yahoo. Hi, Jeff. How are you?
I'm second to Heyman?
Well, let me just say this about John Heyman. You know, John Heyman, see, we kind of cultivated Heyman, okay? like Heyman, like, was like, he was really, you know, he was kind of like, personality-wise, he was a little challenged. And, you know, Evan and I kind of brought it out in him. Whereas with you, you don't have that issue. Like, you're there already. You know, you already have that personality. So we kind of take like a little pride in that with Heyman. So that's the reason.
All right. Good job. Good effort. Thanks, Joe. I appreciate that.
There's one thing I want all the listeners to really pay attention to. And Jeff, this isn't going to mean anything to you, and it's not a negative comment by any stretch. I believe that Jeff Passan sounds exactly similar to Ozzy in Woodridge,
one of our regular callers. You're right about that. He does sound a little like Ozzy.
Oh, completely. So for everybody listening, I want you to channel Ozzy for the next, you know, 20-plus minutes or so when we talk to Jeff, because every time I hear you, you sound a much more intelligent version of Ozzy in Woodbridge.
Can you do me Ernie Acosta, producer extraordinaire, can you get a cut of Ozzy in Woodridge so I can listen? Because I want to hear what it's almost like when you get compared to a celebrity, and you want to look like I want to know what I sound like.
All right.
Would love to hear what I sound, because I know what I sound like in my head. I know what I look like when I look in the mirror, but it always differs others' perspective. So I'd love to hear this.
Ernie, get it done.
Well, let me just point out, Ozzy certainly does feel that he is a celebrity. You know,
yes,
superstar,
yes.
Celebrity. So, you know, there you go.
He does feel that way. The last time, Jeff, we had you on, we were talking about who the Mets would hire as general manager, and they obviously went a little bit outside the box. He's now been hired. He had his press conference. He's been at the GM meetings. Give me your impression of Brody Van Wagenen, GM.
I think Brody Van Wagenen is a really intelligent guy who understands baseball and understands it from a number of different perspectives. That's the beauty of being an agent. You get to see it from the draft. You get to see it from player development. You get to see it from the major league level. So in that respect, whereas people inside of the baseball establishment typically take one path toward the top, he's gotten exposure to all different elements of the game, and that's going to behoove him, I think. But this is not a Brody Van Wagenen thing, and this was not going to be a Doug Melvin thing, and this was not going to be a Chaim Bloom thing. What this was ultimately going to be about is who can get the Wilpons to do what is necessary to turn the Mets into a winning franchise. Right now, they are not a winning franchise. And by that, I mean they do not take the necessary steps to putting teams on the field and putting resources into player development and other places to sustain winning long-term and short-term. If Brody Van Wagenen really does have Jeff Wilpon's ear, as the narrative or the word on the street is at this point, then he is the right hire. Because if he can convince the Wilpons to put the necessary resources toward this organization, then he has done something that Sandy Alderson was not able to do. He has done something that Omar Minaya was not able to do. He has done something that Jim Duquette was not able to do. And we can go back and back and back throughout the Mets' history about their front office just not being able to convince the Wilpons to go as far as they need to put the winning product on the field.
Well, let's hope he does. That's for sure. Jake,
and you know what, Joe? Here's the thing. Time's going to tell there. I don't think we're going to know just based on one offseason. So I'm not going to make snap judgments.
Right,
if the
right.
Mets aren't busy in free agency this winter, I'm not going to say that the Van Wagenen regime has been a failure. I think that when you have a contract as long as he does and as significant as he does, you can't come to those snap judgments. You got to wait a couple of years,
but you know
at very least, to see what he's doing.
I
know that patience is hard. Patience is really hard.
But the problem is it's a sign of terrible things to come. If they're not active in free agency now and they're trying to win now and they've got DeGrom in his prime, Syndergaard in his prime, Wheeler with 1 year left, if they're not trying to win now, then why would I think a year or two from now they're going to try to win?
That's a very fair point.
Thank you.
Look, the window is closing. And the window is closing because if we're being honest with ourselves here, signing pitchers, especially pitchers who throw really hard, especially pitchers in the case of Zach Wheeler or Jacob DeGrom or, not Noah Syndergaard without Tommy John, but he's had arm problems. Signing guys to long-term deals who have had arm issues in the past just is not a winning proposition. But it seems like that's the path that the Mets want to go down. And so to see that be the MO of this organization, I don't know strategically if that is the prudent thing to do.
Mm. Jacob DeGrom tonight with the Cy Young. I think it actually, I've said this, Jeff, and I fully expect him to win the Cy Young. I think the lack of wins actually helps him. In today's baseball environment with all the, sabermetric and wins don't mean anything, I think the fact that he only won 10 games, it almost makes him a shoo-in tonight.
Joe, if you could see me rolling my eyes at you right now, come on. The lack of wins.
I do. I think that.
Just
with the
badge of honor.
Yeah, with the way it is.
Joe, give me a freaking break.
It's so devalued. I mean, come on. You know it is. It's so devalued in this world. Look, I'm an old school guy. I'd love to see him have 25 wins, but I'm just saying in this world we live in, you know the deal.
I agree it's devalued, but that doesn't mean that having less is better.
Well,
like
Jeff, can I make a case for why I think Joe makes a very valid point? I'm going to make a case to you.
Please.
I think that, and I'm a believer, and I've been a believer for a long time since I was a kid, since my dad was teaching me baseball, that wins is a horrible indicator to judge a pitcher. So I'm with you on that.
Totally agree.
But I believe it's almost a badge of honor to show the old school generation, see, wins don't matter, that it enhances them a little bit, that here is this guy, he's going to win the Cy Young going away, and he only won 10 games. That's why I think Joe makes a fair point.
Guys, if Jacob DeGrom were 15 or 16 and 9 this year as opposed to 10 and 9, it would be the most unanimous balloting in the history of unanimity. Like, there would be no argument whatsoever for someone outside to make
Jeff,
on behalf of Max Scherzer or anyone else.
Wow. You don't think there are guys, new school guys, who take it as a badge of honor that the guy only won 10 games? Like, yeah, I'm going to show them.
I mean, I'm kind of a new school guy, right? Like,
yeah.
Would you put me in that category?
You're not vindictive.
I don't look at it.
I'm complimenting you. You're not vindictive.
I appreciate
that. Listen, I like Brian Kenny. He's a good dude. Brian Kenny loves the fact that Jake only won 10 games. I'm telling you.
Yeah, no, I buy that completely. Jeff, I buy that completely. I really do.
You know what? You guys might be right, actually.
Yeah, there you go. That's what I'm saying.
I know Brian Kenny. I consider Brian Kenny a good friend. I consider him an evangelist for the right thing. But yeah, Brian probably actually is completely getting off on the fact that DeGrom is going to win the Cy Young going away with the 10-9 record. And look, here's the thing. There's still going to be people out there who voted for Scherzer, and I think that's ridiculous. But I also do believe this. I think that it is likelier that Jacob DeGrom wins unanimously tonight than it would be that he's not going to win. And that, to me, shows a large step forward. It's not that really getting a unanimous vote is important or indicative of anything, but as we saw, or as I saw personally, after Shohei Ohtani got 25 out of 30 votes, people in New York were pissed that it wasn't even even closer.
And
Duhart didn't get like 10 or 11 or 12.
And you added insult to injury, Jeff, because not only did you vote for Ohtani, which you were wrong about, and you put Andahar, too. You didn't even put Gleyber Torres, 3.
Who'd you have ahead of him?
Joey Wendell, had a better year than Gleyber
Torres. How did he have a better year than Gleyber Torres? Tell me how. Was his OPS better? What was better?
Hold on a second.
Are you
seriously? What was better? Like, do you want to go through the numbers right here?
Well, I just gave you one. Gleyber had a better OPS. He hit more home runs. And I know home runs may not matter because Joey wasn't a power hitter. I don't want to take that away from him. But what was so much better about Joey Wendell than Gleyber Torres? I'm curious.
Joey Wendell and Gleyber Torres. If we're going to, and I'm going to get a little nerdy with you here. Are you okay with that,
Joey?
You can
really
put me on mute.
Joey's
right
gonna
now.
Hate
That's
it.
Fine. I know Joe's going to hate it, but since you're the one who's getting all salty, Evan,
I am. A little salty.
If we're looking at adjusted OPS, and I think adjusted OPS matters. I think it matters what ballpark you play in, right?
Yeah,
does that matter?
I think it's a factor.
I'm just
I think
listening.
The lineup
I'm
you're
just,
in is a factor too. Sure,
I'm listening.
Okay.
Adjusted OPS, Joey Wendell was a 118, which means he was 18% better than the league average when adjusted for ballpark. Gleyber Torres, 118. Joey Wendell played in more games. Apparently, according to people in New York, that really matters. So if you're going to make the argument for
Andujar... Jeff, hold on a second.
If you're
going to
make the argument for Andujar that
no,
more play
that's
appearances
stupid.
Matters...
No, you want to know why that's dumb and the people need to know the facts? Because Joey Wendell had 50 more at-bats than Gleyber Torres. How many more at-bats did Andujar have than Ohtani?
Like 300,
it was a hell of
right?
a lot more than 50, and you know it. You're being misleading.
Like double.
Yeah, and yet, when you take the 367 plate appearances that Shohei Ohtani had, and you add them to the 211 plate appearances that others had against him when he was on the mound, you have 578, which is pretty damn close to Miguel Andujar's 606.
So that's how you did it.
So if you want to talk with me, if you want to, if you want to argue with me about the amount of time that they were spending in one-on-one matchups, which is really what plate appearances are, right?
Yeah.
I mean, plate appearances are a one-on-one matchup between the pitcher and the hitter. They're trying to see who wins, and you have the fielders there, but ultimately it is a pitcher versus hitter matchup. Shohei Ohtani had 578 of those this year. Miguel Andujar had 606. And the only other added value that Miguel Andujar would bring, in addition to those plate appearances, which, by the way, he was worse at than Shohei Ohtani. The 606 compared to the 570, it wasn't even close.
It depends how you
only
define
added
that.
Value.
No. It depends how you define it because Ohtani.
Yes, I'm defining it by the fact that Ohtani was a better hitter when he was there and the fact that he held opponents to like a 600 OPS.
Well, first of all,
in those 211 when he was pitching.
Andujar struck out. I know strikeouts don't matter, but he struck out 5 times fewer than Ohtani, yet Ohtani had the 250 less plate appearances. And Andujar also had
Absolutely.
Double the amount of doubles. Are we ignoring doubles? They count.
You know what? I'm looking at slugging percentage because I don't think that doubles in and of themselves are indicative of a whole lot when you've got other factors that go into slugging percentage. You're looking at the amount of damage done essentially per swing with slugging percentage. And Shohei Ohtani's slugging percentage was higher than Miguel Andujar's. Here's the thing. And New Yorkers got super pissed at me, and I understand them being parochial. I get that. They're sticking up for their guy. I think Miguel Andujar is a really good hitter. I don't want to take that away from him at all. And I just think the argument's being made. Come on, Evan. You're really going to tell me that doubles are the best you can do for the guy?
No, but here's what I'm going to tell you. I think that you're taking certain things that you wouldn't hold to the same standard. Now, I'm going to give you an example of this. You started bringing up guys who Shohei Ohtani is facing and basically saying that's equivalent to plate appearances. If any rookie pitcher makes 30 starts, they're probably facing 800 batters. That's obviously more than most hitters. So are you saying that a pitcher should be at a distinct edge over a hitter every single time we have a rookie of the year vote?
No, what I'm saying is, and I think that this is the case, and it's my argument on behalf of MVPs as well, and why I think pitchers should be. I put DeGrom, for example, second in my MVP balloting this year.
I don't agree with that
for the National League. And I do so because even though I think what we need to do is understand that contributions and value can be made in different ways.
Sure.
The contribution and value of everyday players is that they are there every day and that they are giving you four or five or however many it may be plate appearances at a time, and that that value can be spread out over the course of a season. To me, the value of a pitcher is that he is capable, as Jacob deGrom showed this year, on any given day of single-handedly winning a game. And that single-handed winning of a game, players just very rarely do that position-wise. And so when you look at the amount of batters faced, I think that's a decent proxy for the plate appearances that guys take during the season, because they are those one-on-one battles. And when you take, you know, the 650 or 700 plate appearances plus the defensive value of a position player and compare them to the 800-plus position, plate appearances that or batter's face that a good pitcher has in any given year, I think that's a pretty decent, comparison to go one-on-one with those
guys.
Can
I just jump in here? I'm telling you right now. You are making these awards more complicated than figuring out healthcare. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean,
Joe, you're right.
This is baseball. No, seriously, it's baseball.
You know what? You're absolutely. Single payer system would be good for everybody. Healthcare is an easy fix.
It's unbelievable.
Jeff, let's leave it like this, because I think Joe makes a lot of sense. I get your points. I disagree. Hopefully, you get my points. We'll move on to more important things like who's gonna sign.
By the way, can I ask you if you had DeGrom second for the MVP, who'd you vote first?
Yelich.
Oh, okay.
I had the ground there till like the last week of the season. Yelich was so good over the second half. It was just like, you know, can't do it.
This is a last award question, because I think this is a big deal to every Met fan, and you know this. The Mets have never had an MVP award winner, and I love Jake. He's my favorite Met. I love the guy. I don't feel right about Jacob DeGrom winning the MVP.
I couldn't agree with you more, bro.
Do you think though? Tomorrow night, Jacob DeGrom's going to win the. Like, are we going to be floored? Is Jacob DeGrom going to win the MVP?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. He's not gonna win the MVP.
Okay.
I wouldn't feel right about that.
You know what I feel good about? I feel good about bringing you two together. Like, it's very rare that I come on that you two are both coming and just attack dogging me. I'm bringing unity to the show now.
You're a unifier, Jeff. You know what? Oh, I got it. I got to ask you.
You may be running for president.
I know. You're next.
You're going to be in there. What are you throwing?
Jeff, I got to ask you this, because on Saturday, and I've been meaning to ask Joe this, and here it is Wednesday now. I haven't even asked you. There was a trade I brought up on the air. Guy called up and said, I know you and Joe would love this trade. And I said, I don't know if Joe's going to love it. And that was this idea, as Ken Rosenthal reported, that maybe the Cubs are shopping Chris Bryant. So I said, without a shadow of a doubt, I would trade Noah Syndergaard for Chris Bryant. Wouldn't even think twice about it. See, you disagree with me, right?
Yeah, I'm hesitant.
I knew it. Jeff, two questions.
Bryant's tremendous, though.
Is that even a possibility? Does that make sense at all to you?
No.
For who? For everybody or for the Cubs? Or for me?
No. Why would you do that if you're the Cubs?
Because you can't sign Chris Bryant after 3 years. He's a Boris guy. Syndergaard is a legitimate young ace horse you could put in a rotation that features a lot of older guys. Cole Hamels is a little bit older. John Lester's a little bit older. Kyle Hendricks is pretty good. And then you can go out and sign a big bat free agent to replace Chris Bryant.
Do you trust Noah Syndergaard's arm?
Do you trust Chris Bryant to bounce back?
Absolutely.
Okay. Just saying.
I feel like by you answering with a question, that means the answer is no.
No, I try. You know what? I actually do, and I'm a Met fan saying this, and I'm not trying to sell the Cubs a bag here. I think Noah will stay healthy.
Here's the problem I have with that trade is that Noah Syndergaard had a pretty good year this year, but he didn't even have as close to a kind of year that he could have.
Neither did Bryant.
Right. No, I understand that, but I'm not watching Bryant, though, every day. I'm just looking at a guy that's my guy here, you know, a guy on my team. And that's, you know, that's I got to look at that. You know what I'm saying, Jeff?
If I do. Here's my perspective if I'm Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer, and you come to me with that.
Okay.
If I'm giving up one of the best position players in baseball, and I think Chris Bryant is one of the best position players in baseball, he's an MVP award winner, he hits for power, he hits for average, he gets on base 40% of the time, he plays good defense at third, there's very little you can say that's not positive about Chris Bryant's game. If I'm trading that guy, I want a guy who's thrown 200 innings every year for the last 5 years. And Noah Syndergaard's never thrown more than 183. I need a horse if I'm going to trade one of the best players in baseball. And I'm sorry, Noah Syndergaard's not a horse.
He's not proven yet to be a horse. You're right. I can't deny that.
He's had 4 years. He's had 4 years, guys.
But look at the but Jeff, in fairness, and it feels like I'm trying to sell the Cubs and you something, even though Joe doesn't even want to make the trade, and he's a Met fan, I believe that Noah Syndergaard's injuries are not overly concerning. I mean, let's look specifically at
He hasn't had the surgery yet.
Right, he hasn't had time. It's not like he's had elbow or arm problems. Look at what he's had over the last couple of years that's kept him from being that horse. Don't you look at it sort of as fluky?
No.
No, you think he's going to have an injury problem the rest of his career?
I don't know if it's the rest of his career. What I do know is that when a guy throws as hard as he does, he is at a far higher risk for an arm injury. And Syndergaard has not proven himself capable of staying healthy over the course of an entire season. I mean, he had 1 year where he made 30 starts. He had 1 year where he threw 180-plus innings. Otherwise, it's been 150. And those 150, by the way, have been glorious. Noah Syndergaard pitch. I might enjoy watching Noah Syndergaard pitch more than I enjoy watching anybody else in baseball pitch. Because just the absolute volume of excellence with the stuff is unmatched. It's like what we saw from Nate Eovaldi this postseason, Syndergaard does like every day. And it's amazing to see. But I just can't for Chris Bryant take the risk on that guy. The upside is insane.
But if you're the Mets, you do it in half a second, correct?
Oh my God, yes, absolutely. All you right. Go position. If you're a baseball franchise, you go position player over pitcher every single time. Every single time. Because the downside just isn't the same.
Well, that's the new way of thinking in a baseball, that's for sure.
That's not new. I don't think that's a new wave of thinking. If I have a guy who could play every single day, especially for where the Mets are and what the Mets need,
there was a time,
I would
though,
do it in a half a second.
It has changed because of the way it is now with relief pitching and, you know, guys throw four innings now, and that's pretty soon that'll be a quality start, four innings.
You know what, though? I'll tell you what, guys. I'll tell you what. In the next 5 years, and I'm writing something about this right now, I think in the next 5 years, the death of the starting pitcher is going to be accelerated significantly.
That's terrible.
But I don't like it either. I don't like it either.
You know the good news about that? I'll be out of the business by then. So that's good.
It's just a reality. But here's the thing.
That's the good news.
Consequently, I'm not even going to – I'm going to pretend like you didn't just say that, man. Nobody wants to hear that.
What?
We love you, Joe.
No. I will be out of the business in 5 years.
Come on, Joe.
It's not even debatable.
I know, but we don't want to hear it.
All right.
I want to pretend you're going to work with that hair forever.
Because that, like, you know, to me, that's
Jesus, that's what's like going on.
And I agree with you, Jeff, what you're saying. I mean, the trend that we're seeing in baseball is that's exactly what's happening. But as an old school guy, you know, grew up watching baseball in the 60s, wow, that's tough to deal with.
And as a new school guy who recognizes that relief pitchers are nothing more, and this is not to take anything away, they're great, they're nothing more than failed starters.
Right, okay.
A lot of times.
Well, yeah, and a lot of times.
And when you're spending the last five or six innings of a game watching guys who couldn't cut the mustard starting pitch, really? That's what I, as a baseball fan, want to watch. No, not at all.
Right.
I want to see a guy go out there and throw a CG. That's what I want to see.
I'm with you.
Yeah, of course.
Through the third time through the order penalty. Forget any of that. I want to see a guy go out there and throw an
By the way, Syndergaard actually had two complete games this year. I just want to throw that out there. Two. That's like a big deal.
Let's have a party.
Am I? Hold on. Has Ernie found my voice doppelganger? Like, am I going to get to hear this?
Did you get the Ozzy? Can we? Do you have Ozzy's number?
I'm guessing he's going to call in 20 minutes after all this.
Oh, you know
Jeff
Ozzy's
listen
calling.
To the show though.
No, I live in freaking Kansas City. Come on.
We will say, Ernie.
I'd love to get FAN here.
We'll send you. Well, you can listen on like the app or whatever it is.
It's not warm enough for
Radio.
Me.
Radio.com.
Yeah, no, it's not. Not
no.
quite.
No.
The Jeff. App. Aren't there only 800 subscribers? To
no,
the app?
that app.
See, this is what I mean. We had to bring this out of Heyman. We don't have to with you.
Jeff, it's easy.
You know what I'm saying?
We throw one up, he takes it.
You know, it took Heyman a while to get there.
Jeff, we got to run, but we love you.
All right, Jeff.
Love you too, boys.
See
Take
you, man.
It easy.
The great Jeff Passan.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.